Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Fusion Church, 6 a.m. soap. How are you feeling? Are you ready? I'm back. I was on vacation last week, took a little bit of downtime, but now I'm ready to go. I'm fired up today. Wasn't so much a vacation because the wife gave me a crazy honey-do list, so I wasn't really just chilling out. I had stuff to do, you know, but it was awesome. Feel really rested, and I'm ready to go. Jeremiah 26, we're going to see where, you know, Jeremiah was seized by the people, and they wanted to kill him, and how that all plays out in his life. So I'm going to pray and we're going to get into it. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord God. Thank you for this opportunity we have, Jesus, to read from your word, Lord God. And we pray, Lord God, that you would speak to us, Lord God, and just continue to give us new wisdom, new insights, new things we can glean from your word, Lord God, that we can apply to our lives, Father. Be with us during this time, Father. I pray for everyone on this call, everyone listening later on the podcast and on YouTube, Lord Jesus, that you would continue to speak to them, Lord God. And as I'm speaking, Father, it'd be your words that they're hearing, Lord God. Thank you for this time. We praise you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Jeremiah 26, and I am reading from the New King James Version. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came from the Lord, saying, "Thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command you to speak to them. Do not diminish a word. Perhaps everyone will listen and turn from his evil way, that I may relent concerning the calamity which I purpose to bring on them because of the evil of their doings. And you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me, to walk in my law which I have set before you, to heed the words of my servants, the prophets whom I sent to you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not heeded, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth." So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it happened when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people seized him, saying, "You will surely die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant?" And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the princes of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. And the priests and the prophets spoke to the princes and all the people, saying, "This man deserves to die, for he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your ears." Then Jeremiah spoke to all the princes and all the people, saying, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city with all the words that you have heard. Now, therefore, amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent concerning the doom that he has pronounced against you. As for me, here I am in your hand. Do with me as seems good and proper to you. But know for certain that if you put me to death, you will surely bring innocent blood on yourselves, on this city and on its inhabitants. For truly the Lord has sent me to speak to you all these words in your hearing." So the princes and all the people said to the priests and the prophets, "This man does not deserve to die, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God." Then certain of the elders of the land rose up and spoke to all the assembly of the people, saying, "Micah of Moresheth prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spoke to all the people of Judah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruin, and the mountains of the temple like the bare hills of the forest. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah and all Judah, ever put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord and seek the Lord's favor? And the Lord relented concerning the doom which he had pronounced against them, but we are doing great evil against ourselves. Now there was also a man who prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah, the son of Shemaiah of Kirjath-Jearim, who prophesied against this city and against this land according to all the words of Jeremiah. And when Jehoiakim the king, with all his mighty men and all the princes, heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went to Egypt. Then Jehoiakim the king sent men to Egypt, Elnathan the son of Akbar, and other men who went with him to Egypt. And they brought Urijah from Egypt and brought him to Jehoiakim the king, who killed him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam the son of Shaphan was with Jeremiah, so they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. Amen. Amen. All right. So, a lot's happening here, in this passage. It begins with in verse 1, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim. King Jehoiakim came to the throne around 609 BC, about 4 years before the first Babylonian invasion into Judah. And so this prophecy apparently happened before that particular invasion. And in context, Babylon came in three times, and three times they invaded, three times they took captives back. So this is 4 years before the very first invasion of the Babylonian Empire into the kingdom of Judah. Many of the leaders of Judah felt that they could still avoid this from happening, right? They were still stubborn and felt like, no, we can avoid the judgment that God's going to bring upon us. We can avoid this calamity. Jeremiah's message, they still didn't want to hear it, right? They still thought they could avoid it. But God spoke to Jeremiah and said, say these words. And he says in verse 2, do not diminish a word. He told Jeremiah to stand in the court of the temple, right, in Jerusalem, and to preach this message to all the cities of Judah. The temple was the central place of worship for the kingdom of Judah, right? It should have been for all of Israel. Right? But what we know, the split at this point, the kingdom of Israel is gone, right? They've been decimated. They've been scattered, right? Now it's just Judah. And so by preaching in the temple, right, in the court of the temple, people from all the cities of Judah were going to hear this message. And it was important for Jeremiah to say everything that God told him to say. Everything, despite any misgivings he may have had, despite being like, I don't know if I should say this, say everything. Why? Because in verse 3, God says, perhaps everyone will listen and turn from his evil way. God was still trying to get the attention of the people. He was giving them chance after chance. He kept sending Jeremiah, right? And he was sending other prophets. And we're going to talk about this prophet Urijah here in a little bit. It wasn't just Jeremiah, right? And we have these prophets in the Bible, all these particular books of prophets, of prophecy, but there was many more prophets not mentioned, right? Who were preaching the word of God. Right, who were giving the message that God had given them to give to the people, right? And so God was still making a way. He was still trying, right? And what's crazy about it, even knowing that the people were not going to turn, but perhaps just one, perhaps one, right? When we're in services, and we The word is being preached, and at the end, we give a call to salvation. Even if we get just one, it's amazing when we're on the stage and any one of our locations, and dozens of hands go up, right? But it's just as amazing when that one hand, God had sent Jeremiah even for the one, right? Perhaps they'll listen. Perhaps they'll turn from their maybe they'll turn from their evil ways. God did not wonder if Judah would listen and repent. God knew that they weren't going to do it, but Jeremiah didn't know. And God wanted Jeremiah to preach the message with the hope that they might listen, the hope that someone's going to raise their hand, the hope that someone's going to give their life to Christ, and that God might relent from this judgment that Jeremiah and the other prophets had been talking about. Verse 4, if you will not listen to me to walk in my law, which I have set before you, God just told Jeremiah to preach as if it were possible that they would listen, for the possibility that they would listen. And God then told Jeremiah to warn the people of what would happen if they would not listen. And what would happen? Verse 6, then I will make this house like Shiloh and will make this city a curse. The city of Shiloh was a place that was conquered by and destroyed by the Philistines. You can go back and read about that in 1 Samuel 4. And the Philistines, they came into this city. They killed the priests. They captured the Ark of the Covenant, right? And Israel felt as if God's glory had departed from them, because now the Ark of the Covenant was gone. And God promised to make Jerusalem and the temple like Shiloh, a desolate place, right? If Judah continued to not listen to him, if they continued to be disobedient. It says the priests and the prophets and all the people in verse 7, Jeremiah spoke from the temple court, making the message as public as possible, right? It isn't a surprise that both the important and the common people heard him, right? Again, the temple is the central place of worship. People from all over, both the rich, the poor, the common, the important, everyone came, to worship at the temple. Whether they were doing it right or not, they still went to the temple to worship. So it was important for Jeremiah to go there. And when Jeremiah spoke and prophesied about the coming destruction of the temple and Jerusalem, most people thought that he was being disloyal to Judah, and he was being disloyal to the temple, right? And perhaps they thought that he wanted these things to happen. Like maybe they thought Jeremiah was looking forward to the destruction. No, Jeremiah was just preaching the word of God, right? Whether it was popular or not. Listen, sometimes you have to stand for something. You may have to speak about God. You may have to speak about the kingdom of God, right? You may have to speak against things that are happening around you, right? And it's not popular, right? And people that you're speaking to, family, friends, coworkers, whoever it may think like, oh, you just hate me. You just, you're against me, right? You want destruction to happen in my life. You want me to not be blessed. No, baby girl, baby boy, we don't want that. We want blessings for you, but the blessings will not come if you're not living right. The blessings will not come if you're not living. God cannot and will not bless sin, period. You cannot be living in your sin, in your dirt, in your junk, and then go, Lord, bless me. For what? For what? Jeremiah was just preaching the word of God, and the people thought maybe he wants the destruction to happen, right? And that was not the case. And so they say in verse 11, this man deserves to die, for he has prophesied against this city. Jeremiah's message was bad news, right? It was bad news for Jerusalem. It was bad news for the kingdom of Judah. And because judgment was coming, and the priests and the prophets, the people felt that he was against them and against the city. They felt that he was a traitor to the Jewish people. Right? As it was, Jeremiah, we read about a few weeks ago how the Lord called him to separate himself from all the festivals, all the feasts, the celebrations, even the mourning, the weeping when things happened. Separate himself from the people, right? So Jeremiah was an outsider by a lot of the, by a lot of their viewpoints. They saw him as an outsider because he separated themselves. Now he's coming in and he's talking about judgment and destruction. They saw him as a traitor. They believed that Jeremiah, that his message weakened the people. It weakened their morale and helped the cause of those who were going to come to threaten Jerusalem. They thought he was helping the Babylonians. He was on the side of Babylon, right? Because he was telling them that the destruction is going to come, right? So he's getting all these accusations pointed at him. They have him captive, right? They took hold of him and they're ready to put him to death. But then Jeremiah, verse 12, it says, then Jeremiah spoke. Then Jeremiah spoke. Listen, when the man of God is about to speak, it would behoove all of us to shut up and listen, because he's got something to say. Jeremiah, accused of treason, defended himself before all these people. And obviously the accusing priests and the accusing prophets, again, because there was prophets of God and there were false prophets, just like today. And these false prophets were saying, no, Jeremiah is what he's saying is wrong, and they were coming against Jeremiah. They were coming, the quote unquote prophets were coming against the word of God. That's a dangerous place to find yourself. And so they come and they heard what Jeremiah was saying, right? And it says, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city. Jeremiah made it very clear that his ministry and his message was not a matter of choice. He didn't choose to speak this. This was God's command, and he only did what God sent him to do. Listen, what we talk about, the way we live our life, may be very, 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 very unpopular, right? And people may think that you are against him, but as long as you are standing on the rock that is Jesus Christ, you are standing on the word of God, and what you are saying is truth, right? You have nothing to worry about. Who cares what people think? Who cares what people say? Because you know what? In the end of the age, when we stand before the throne of God, we have to give an account, right? And God's not going to care about, oh, they were against you. Oh, they were, No. What did you do? I gave you a command. I gave you a calling on your life. I said you were called to be a preacher. You were called to lead people. You were called to lead a Bible study. You were called to be in ministry. You were called to be on the worship team. Listen, you were called to greet at church. You were called to serve coffee. Right? Because I'm sending people to you. And what did you do? Not a thing. Nothing. Jeremiah, in my opinion, right? Listen, this is the gospel according to Pastor Jason. Jeremiah was like, I ain't going to be the one to disobey God. I ain't going to be the one to ignore what he has told me to say. It may hurt, it may be a struggle, but I am going to be obedient. Verse 13, therefore amend your ways and your doings. Jeremiah was on trial for his life. His life. Right? I don't know of anyone here who, by talking about God, you're on trial for your life. Other countries, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But here, right, we live a pretty cushy life. We can go and we can shout to the high heavens about Jesus, and we're not on trial for our life. But here Jeremiah was, and yet he still courageously spoke the message and spoke as if they, the people, were on trial. Because there was a real sense in which that was true. Their only hope was that God might relent from the promised judgment. He might relent against the judgment that he had said was going to come. Verse 14, as for me, here I am in your hand, do with me as seems good and proper to you. Jeremiah was determined to speak what God told him and to say, and to take whatever punishment it might bring. Because that punishment was going to be temporary. Eventually, he knew if he was put to death, he was going to be with his creator. He was going to be with his Lord. So say, hey, do whatever you want. You know, I'm going to still speak the truth. And in a remarkable way, Jeremiah put the message that the God gave him above his own personal safety. Above his own personal comfort. The message of God is what's important. You know what I'm saying? Because again, what if that one person relents? What if that one person repents? What if that one, brothers and sisters, we do it for the one? And Jeremiah was still preaching the word of God. He spoke in very much the same way, and the same spirit that the apostles would speak centuries later. In Acts 14, beginning with verse 19, it says, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That same boldness that the disciples, the apostles, would speak, Jeremiah had that same boldness. That same boldness. Why? Because he had that same Holy Spirit empowering him. Verse 15, know for certain that if you put me to death, you will surely bring innocent blood on yourselves. The choice was left to them. He was like, do what you're going to do. But if you kill me, innocent blood's on your hands. Jeremiah wanted to know it was a choice with consequences. Killing God's prophet would only add to the guilt, would add to the punishment that the city leaders were going to have to deal with. Right? And it says, for truly the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your hearing. By nature, Jeremiah seemed to be somewhat of a shy and hesitant person. But here he stood with great courage to give an account for his call and his work, just as God had promised he would. What he was doing here in Jeremiah 26, God had promised would happen in Jeremiah 1. In Jeremiah 1, verse 18 and 19, it says, for behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land. Listen, against the kings of Judah and his princes and its priests and against the people of the land. We're seeing it happening right here in chapter 26. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. What was prophesied over Jeremiah in chapter 1 was coming to pass here in 26. And God continued with his promise, I am with you to deliver you. I am with you to deliver you. God promised to be with Jeremiah. So of course he can be bold. Of course because he knows who's behind him, who's walking with him, who's leading him through the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. And so we can walk with that same boldness to know that God is with us, that God will deliver us. You know, and really, quite honestly, who cares? Who cares what happens to us here on earth? Because we know where our eternity is gonna be. We know who we're gonna be with in eternity. This life here is fleeting, is so quick, right? In the greater scheme of eternity, this like this, it's over. So why are we worried about offending people? Why are we worried about how people feel? You know, yes, don't go around like, and listen, don't be a jerk, right? Let's be, you know, don't just be straight rude to people. But if you are speaking truth, what do you have to worry about? What do you have to worry about? Verse 16, this man does not deserve to die. Whew. Some people spoke up. No doubt these people were moved by the courage of Jeremiah. The ruling council and the princes and the opinion of all the people was that Jeremiah should not die. Even though the priests and the prophets likely did not agree, Jeremiah would be spared death. And centuries later, another innocent messenger of God was unjustly accused by religious leaders. And in the trial, they were warned that an unjust death sentence would bring blood guilt. There'd be consequences. And yet Jesus of Nazareth was still condemned. Right? In the Bible, when we're doing our reading, there are types of Jesus, right? A type is like a representation of Jesus. Jeremiah is a type of Jesus, right? And all that means is that the lives are parallel, right? We can see parallel things in their lives, right? But where Jeremiah was spared when he was unjustly put on trial, we know that Jesus was not spared. But he was spared, he was not spared for a further purpose. For he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. They didn't like Jeremiah's message, but they had to admit that it was God's message. And it wasn't right to blame the messenger for faithfully delivering this message. Verse 17, then certain of the elders of the land rose up. We don't know exactly who these men were, these certain elders. They don't seem to exactly fit within the previous princes and priests and prophets that we've been reading about. And but they spoke wisdom to Jeremiah and his situation. There were no elders who spoke up on behalf of Jesus when he was unjustly put on trial. And in matter of fact, it was a pagan ruler who proclaimed his innocence, but he still sent Jesus to the cross anyway. Verse 18 talks about the prophet Micah. They remember the prophet Micah, and they remember what was recorded in his book. They remember the message was not often pleasant. In Micah 3, verse 12, it says, therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed like a field. Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruins, and the mountains of the temple like the bare hills of the forest. It's interesting to note that Micah, what Micah said right before verse 12, he said in verse 11, her prophets divine for money, yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No harm can come to us. Micah warned them of judgment, specifically in context of the assurances of the false prophets and the sense that no harm could come to Jerusalem. And Micah's prophetic word happened more than 100 years before Jeremiah, right? Micah warned of false prophets. And we're seeing these false prophets coming against Jeremiah. Be careful who you listen to. I've said this before on previous Zoom calls, and I'm going to say it again. Be careful who you are listening to. They may seem like they're speaking the word of God, and quite honestly, they probably are speaking a little bit of the word of God. But you have to dig into the root of what they're really saying. You got to listen to their heart. That's where discernment from the Holy Spirit comes. You ask the Holy Spirit, listen, Holy Spirit, if there is something that I should not be listening to, if there is someone I should not be listening to and allowing it to take root in my heart, Father, reveal that to me. So when I hear these words, it gives me that, oh, that icky, uneasy feeling that I need to run from, right? Because they are out there. They are out there, right? Don't ask me who. Listen, I got my own opinions, but they are out there, and it's important that we have discernment in that. Verse 19, did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah ever put him to death? The elders wisely remember that Micah was not punished for bringing prophecy, you know? So it's like, so Jeremiah should not be punished. You know, instead, Hezekiah responded to Micah's message by fearing the Lord and seeking out the Lord's favor. Right? And they said, we are doing great evil against ourselves. They understood that it was wrong to oppose Jeremiah and to persecute him, but instead they should fear the Lord and seek his favor. But if it could, because if they did not do that, they were going to suffer. And he goes on to talk about this other prophet, Urijah, the son of Shemaiah. Again, there were other prophets in that day, right? There's not much known about this particular prophet, Urijah. But we do know he prophesied against the city as well and against the land, you know, just as Jeremiah did. Right? And so the king sought to put him to death. Right, Jehoiakim, this king, he was an evil king. He was one of the last couple of kings before Judah was completely destroyed, and he sought to kill him. And so Urijah, he flees to Egypt. At this time, Egypt had a very thriving Jewish community living there, and he sought to just to get away, but the king sent his men to bring him back, right? There was no laws in that day against extradition, right? If you were in a different country, you know? So they brought him back. And what happened? As soon as he got back into the presence of King Jehoiakim of Judah, he was killed with the sword. And so they brought this to Jeremiah's attention as an example, right? Now, they didn't speak against what King Jehoiakim did. Right? They just brought it up. They didn't say Jehoiakim was wrong. They didn't speak against it. This was a very hidden threat against Jeremiah. Right? We saved you from death. But if you keep talking, you're going to end up like Urijah did. Right? A very hidden threat, a veiled threat against Jeremiah. We saved you from being punished, right? So do us a favor and shut up now, or else. That's pretty messed up. The prophet of God just doing the Lord's work, and the people still coming against him. Because they didn't want to hear. They would rather be pretend that they were blind to the fact of what was going to happen to them. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah. Ahikam may have been one of the elders. We don't know exactly who he was in the history of the Israelite people. But he had at least one friend of influence that day. Who stopped him? Who stopped him from being killed? Who stopped the people, right? Who stopped the threats? And we know that Jesus, he had no Ahikam to defend him. He had no elder who stopped him from going to the cross, right? He had no Ahikam to stand up before the Sanhedrin, to stand up before Pontius Pilate and speak on his behalf. Jesus had no Ahikam. But Jesus is our Ahikam. Jesus is our guy who's standing up for us, who's defending us against the very accusations of the evil one that the word says that is constantly coming against us. And he's also delivering us from condemnation. We have that assurance here in the word. We are not alone, brothers and sisters. Jesus is still defending us, right? He is stopping the accusations of the enemy. So when you're going through about your day and you feel you have negative thoughts coming through your mind, Right? And that's the enemy just trying to discourage you and to stop you. The Lord has put something on your heart, right? I just feel in the name of Jesus, I feel right now there are people here that the Lord has put things on their heart, right? That you're struggling with. You're struggling with what should I be obedient? Is this really God? You know, like I can't do this. God, why would you put this on my mind? Why would you put this on my heart? I'm unable. I'm telling you, if God is with you, who can be against you? Amen. And as you begin to pursue and really look into and really pray and press into what God has for you, you're going to have those negative thoughts, those negative accusations from the enemy saying, there is no way you can do that. Look at your life. There is no way you can be a preacher for the word of God. Look what you've done. Look at your past. Look at your history. Look at your family. Look where you live. Look at your lack of education. There is no way. And God, ooh, I'm trying not to get riled up. God goes before us and he stands against those accusations and he stops the condemnation because he says, that is my child. You will not come against them. They are called. Jeremiah was called, and he had people coming against him, wanting to put him to death. But then God put people like this man Ahikam to stop everything and to put his hand of protection upon him, right? And keep him safe so he would not be killed. The hand of the Lord is on you. His hand of protection is keeping you safe. And that is a promise from the word of God that we can stand on and we can have the assurance of. Amen. Amen. Whew, let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word, Lord God. Thank you for the boldness of Jeremiah. This example that we can have, Father, that we can stand with boldness for you. We can speak up for you, Lord God. When we find ourselves in situations, Father, Lord, where we feel your Holy Spirit pushing us to speak. We feel your Holy Spirit pushing us to talk, to act, to do a certain thing, to encounter that person, Lord God. I pray, Father, that we would be obedient and we can stand with boldness. Jeremiah was not by nature an outgoing, bold person, but with your help, Lord God, he boldly faced death. He boldly preached your word in front of all the people, Lord God. I pray that we walk with that same boldness, that same confidence of Jeremiah. Father, thank you for your word. I pray for everyone on this call, everyone listening later on, Lord God. Speak to them, Jesus, Lord. Give them opportunity for boldness. Give them opportunities to stand up for your word, Lord God. And give them that assurance that you will never leave them, that you will never forsake them. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. All right, brothers and sisters, love y'all. And I will see you again next week. God bless.